Welcome to The Christian Atheist, where faith and reason fuse in the Incarnation. Episode number 146, Malachi, My Messenger. Conclusion. This week we conclude our lengthy series on the book of Malachi. We have discovered that Malachi may be considered a nameless prophet, a summary of the role of prophet as defined by the entire series of Old Testament prophets. All prophets of Yahweh are His messengers. That is, they stand in for God, speaking His words. In this, they are human versions of the supernatural messengers that, taking the term from the New Testament Greek, are the angels of the Lord, literally the messengers of Yahweh. Their purpose, from the very beginning of creation, is to make known to men the Word of God. It was God's Word that brought the world into being, that sustains it, that holds back His wrath and destruction in judgment, that redeems, heals, and ultimately restores creation into an everlasting communion with God through the mediation of His Word. We should notice the eternal connection, indeed, the identification of God's Word with His Son. It is in Him that we live, move, and have our being. He is that prophet spoken of by Moses in Deuteronomy 18. Quote, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers. It is to him you shall listen, just as you desired of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly, when you said, 'Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, or see this great fire any more, lest I die.' And the Lord said to me, 'They are right in what they have spoken. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And whoever will not listen to my words that he shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him.'" If we understand this passage in light of all we have discussed in this series, we will see the twofold pattern of realization of God's prophecies here. God promised to raise up prophets, putting His words in their mouths. These are the familiar Old Testament prophets we meet throughout Scripture, the little I incarnations of the prophet promised here. God will put His words in their mouths, and the people are called to listen. These prophets bring God's word to God's people, pointing beyond themselves to the prophet, the Lord Himself filling the role of forerunner defined by Malachi. If, as we have said, the book of Malachi represents the prophetic role, then it should do what the other prophets did. It should say what the other prophets said. It should be a completely representative prophetic book, but it should also, at the same time, be unique. It is the purpose of this concluding episode to demonstrate this. First, the role of prophet is to be God's human messenger, in contrast to the heavenly angelic messengers we see elsewhere, such as Gabriel. As human, a prophet is historically and geographically determinate. He has a precise time and a place in the human drama. Each is thereby unique. And all biblical prophets share this, note the paradoxical language, common uniqueness. Part of Malachi's uniqueness, as we argue, is that he appears at the conclusion of the Old Testament revelation and is unnamed. It is this spatiotemporal fact that is the foundation of our conclusion that Malachi presents the role of prophet, while at the same time being a prophet in the common sense. John the Baptist, inaugurating the New Testament prophetic revelation, incarnated Malachi. The role, while retaining Malachi's unique message. The Malachi-John duality uniquely bridges Old and New Testaments. The specified Old Testament message and role, and its New Testament incarnation. Second, from the platform of his present, every prophet is a unique indicator of the common past and future we share. Malachi's unique post-exilic time period, following the return to Israel from captivity, the rebuilding of the temple and the walls of Jerusalem, nevertheless claims no novelty as to message. He addresses the sins of divorce and foreign marriage, of religious formalism over obedience and true love of God, of corrupt priests and officials. He reminds the people and the officials of their heritage, of God's love and mercy toward them, of their obligation to obedience, of their failure to follow his way. He predicts the coming of John the Baptist, of Messiah and the day of the Lord. He predicts future blessing to an obedient people. Quote, "But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings." 4:2. He does and says all this, as did the prophets, God's messengers, before him. He declares to his generation, quote, "From the days of your fathers you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts." 3:7. The message is the same, which should come as no surprise. Quote, "For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed." Chapter 3, verse 6. Likewise, the response is predictable. The prophet and his message is rejected, save for a believing remnant. The pattern was the same for John the Baptist and for the one real prophet, Jesus. As we've seen, all the Old Testament roles were realized in the incarnate Son of God. Prophet, priest, after the order of Melchizedek, and Davidic king. And all the scriptures given by the prophets that pointed to him are fulfilled in him. This combining of roles is also hinted at early in the Bible by both David and Solomon, and even to a lesser and more problematic extent, by Saul, who combined the roles of king and prophet, as both David and Solomon were inspired authors of Holy Writ. It is vitally important to note that Malachi ends by recalling the greatest prophetic messengers in a brilliant summary of the Old Testament message. Quote, "Remember the law of my servant, Moses, the statutes and rules that I commanded him at Horeb for all Israel. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes, and he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children, and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction." We should recall here, as certainly every Jewish person would have, the words of Moses in Deuteronomy 18, with which we opened this episode. The combination of Moses with Elijah here, at the conclusion of the Old Testament, like all things in God's Word, is no mistake. The New Testament opens with John the Baptist, Elijah, if you are willing to accept it, and Jesus, that prophet spoken of by Moses so long ago in Israel's history. For, quote, There has not arisen since in Israel a prophet like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. Deuteronomy 34:10. Until, of course, Jesus, the messenger of Yahweh, who is the message, the Word of God, who even more than Moses knows God face to face, for he is the face of Yahweh to man. And it is again no mistake that it is Moses and Elijah, as portrayed here in the final words of Malachi, that appear with our Lord on the Mount of Transfiguration. Jesus speaking face to face with these two prophets of old. The incarnate Son of God is the uniquely common prophet, temporally and spatially localized, speaking God's word to man, pointing back to the ancient paths by which blessings come, and forward to judgment and bliss, the forerunner to his own second coming, yet transcending all boundaries as the eternal Word of God by whom all things were made. It is to these patterns that this series of Malachi seeks to point our listeners. When we see God in His Word with new eyes, all the intricately repeating patterns, each iteration unique, both ancient and fresh every morning, we can see the Bible as God's living presence. It is our looking glass, human on one side, divine on the other, affording us the ability to know our God, our Creator and Sustainer, and to love Him with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. This was the goal of this series. Jenny and I pray that it has blessed you as much as it has us. Finally, to close this series, a reminder is in order. One of the enduring patterns to which we have pointed is that God devises means to return the exiled to Himself, promising to return to us when we return to Him. God does not change. It is we who must turn, must choose to believe, to follow, and to obey. We stand today, 2024 Anno Domini, the year of our Lord. Following the pattern, God has kept us in the land, blessing us continually. But this wealth has bred complacence. We wander farther and farther from the ancient paths God established. While He remains long-suffering toward us, not wanting any to perish, we should not forget that God is justice, that we are replaying the age-old path to destruction followed by Israel and Judah so long ago, by Greece and Rome. The broader culture around us has descended into materialistic idolatry, into child sacrifice, into homosexuality and transgenderism, into coarse lewdness and addictions. And the Church of God, along with her religious officials, have compromised with that culture. We are no longer separate, no longer the salt of the earth. Christianity, like Judaism, is a covenantal relationship. And we are called a kingdom of priests, set apart, as Malachi reminds us, quote, "My covenant with him was one of life and peace, and I gave them to him. It was a covenant of fear, and he feared me. He stood in awe of my name. True instruction was in his mouth, and no wrong was found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and uprightness, and he turned many from iniquity. For the lips of a priest should guard knowledge, and people should seek instruction from his mouth. For he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. But you have turned aside from the way. You have caused many to stumble by your instruction. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, says the Lord of hosts. And so I make you despised and abased before all the people, inasmuch as you do not keep my ways. Christians, we are the messengers of the Most High. It is time for God's people, his messengers, to return to him, to restore God's glory among the nations. It is time for no compromise, to stand on God's word and its principles. Because in Jesus' words, if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. Brothers and sisters in Christ, what good are we in this world? The time, I fear, is short, and judgment is determined. We must recover the fear and awe of our God that his people experienced at Sinai, where his holy fire flashed and flamed, and his voice thundered. We must speak the truth boldly, fearing not the world, but only his wrath at our compromise of his word, his way, his truth. God declared to Moses in Deuteronomy 5:29 what he desires of us today. Oh, that they had such a heart as this always, to fear me and to keep all my commandments, that it might go well with them and with their descendants forever. I am a Christian, with the searching and skeptical mind of an atheist. I don't want to believe anything that isn't true. I know both sides of the looking glass, and I know them with open eyes. I choose Christ's side. I invite you to join me from wherever you stand before the looking glass. That's this week's episode. Thanks for listening. And remember, you can have your religious cake and eat it too. You can have reason, respect for science, a 21st century worldview, and be a Christian.